if he gets a home run, if he runs into one, good for him. I'll buy everyone Raising Cane's all over the world.
Ryder, I will pay you to burn that tape right now.
Good for him. I'll buy everyone Raising Cane's all over the world. Write that down, Dan.
I was 2 feet away from being bankrupt. I think
one guy's like, Duncan's going to spend his entire major league salary on buying everyone Cane's.
How am I going to explain this to my wife? She's like, why is there that for sale sign in front of our house?
All over the world.
I had to buy everyone Raisin Cane.
That's awesome. So that was one of the better memories that we had in the turn. So Chris Duncan so Kyle Schwarber was returning for the Cubs. He had been out for an extended period of time, and I think it was the year that the Cubs won the World Series. He came back, and Dunk was confident that after spending so much time away from the field, that Kyle Schwarber wasn't going to have any impact. Well, the Cubs put him in the lineup. And he had said, you heard the bet. He goes, I'll buy everybody in the world Raising Cane's chicken fingers if he hits a home run. Well, Kyle Schwarber in his first at bat that year hit a laser beam off the wall. Oh, I mean, God. An absolute laser beam. And Dunk almost had to buy everybody chicken fingers.
Tight cheeks on
exactly,
that one.
Exactly, yeah. So joining us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, Dunk had mentioned, you know, Amy hopefully never finding out. First of all, Amy Duncan, Chris's wife, joins us right now. And Amy, it's such a pleasure to chat with you again. It's been quite a while since we talked, so I hope you're doing well. Thank you. And did Dunk ever admit that he had to buy everybody in the world chicken fingers if Kyle Schwarber hit the home run?
You know, he had the Raising Cane's like probably way too much, way too often. He didn't admit that he had to do that, but I know you guys had a lot of bets going. And Anthony, good to be on. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too, Amy. It's so great to hear your voice. It doesn't surprise me, Amy, that he wouldn't admit to that. And I'm sure that as he was sitting there watching the game, the sweat was starting to, you know, draw a little bit on his forehead. But Amy, as we talk about Chris on what would have been his 40th birthday, I've had such a great time kind of talking about his life and reminiscing about his life. But you know Chris better than anybody. I can't sum up who Chris was as a player, as a person, as a radio host, because I feel like there was so much to him. If I were to ask you, like, if you were describing Chris for the first time, and you were going to summarize Chris and who he was, how would you do that?
Yeah, Chris was like one of a kind. You know, he had a magical way of seeing people, meeting people for the first time, and within seconds, like, analyzing their behavior and knowing whether or not he could open up to them. And then he would have them laughing within like 2 minutes of the conversation. And he just had this way of like drawing people in and making them smile, making them laugh, and really making them feel special. And I think that's like the top characteristic like that he possessed, that really made him and his memory live on, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Amy.
Yeah, he was so spontaneous and just witty with everything that he did in life. And, you know, I remember, like, really early in our relationship, the guys at the field, I was talking to Aaron Miles yesterday about this, and Little Buddy, and I said, Chris called him Little Buddy. He was saved in the phone as Little Buddy. And I was talking to him yesterday, and when we first met, like early on, you know, Aaron told me, like, Chris came to the field and was like, I think I met somebody like really special, and I really like her, you know. And he was kind of torn between, you know, baseball and what he was doing, you know, as a successful Major League Baseball player, and like meeting me. And so I guess the guys at the field like told him that the number one thing that, like, if he was going to marry me, was that I had to be able to take care of dogs, like test her with taking care of dogs, you know? And Chris was like, you know, good point. next thing you know, like, you know, all I wanted to do was, like, go watch him play and, like, be there when he got home. And next thing you know, I had this, like, puppy that I was taking care of that we adopted. And, like, I loved the puppy, but, I mean, it was a lot. And and it was a true test. And then, so then one dog, you know, was fine. And then next thing you know, like, I guess that wasn't a big enough test. He's like, let's get another one. So we got this other dog, and her name was June, and she was a German Shepherd mix. And she started getting so big so fast. And, you know, we'd have to board her when he went on the road and stuff. And we came home and we were like, you know, he was like, she's going to bite somebody, Amy. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, what do we do? And he's like, we got to take her back. Like, we got to take her back to the Humane Society. I was like, Chris, I can't take her back. Like, this is crazy. You know, we can't just, like, take dogs back. He's like, I'll do it. He goes, I'm not, you, he goes, you can stay in the car. I'm going to do it. So, you know, we pulled up to the Humane Society and he comes back out and, like, we dropped the dog off. And he says, I go, what did you tell them? And he goes, I told him I was allergic. And it was like, oh my gosh, why is he doing that? And then he would just like make up stuff. And then I remember like a couple of weeks later, you know, I get a call and they had like the adoption of dogs down at the field. And I get this call and he's like, you got to come down here and look at this other dog. And I'm like, Chris, you just got rid of the dog. And he was like, no, but you got to get this other dog. I said, is it hypoallergenic? And he's like, no, but it's really cute. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So anyway, we adopted another dog. And like, just his spontaneity with everything in life, like he definitely lived to the fullest. And you know, he wanted everybody to laugh, and he was really like a light in every aspect of my life and a lot of other people's.
Amy, Jamie Rivers here. I never, unfortunately, had the great pleasure of meeting Dunk face to face. Talked to him on the phone a number of times with Anthony during the turn days. But there's a lot of Dunk that reminds me of my career and myself and crazy things in life as well. And the number one thing we get on the text line all the time here and right now too is, you know, Dunk's love for the coral reef. And I know, I know I drive my wife nuts with things. I'll go home and talk about stuff for hours and she's like, I don't care. I'm not your radio buddies. Did Dunk ever come home or was he ever talking about the coral reef with you at home?
You guys, I don't even know where that came from. I will say that we went snorkeling a lot, like every vacation, you know, that we went to crystal clear blue waters. He was always the one to like jump in, no fear, and be like looking back at me on the boat, like get in the water. And so I guess that's where it came from. Like when we would go, we would hope to put our head in the water and see these beautiful, colorful reefs. And sometimes it's just like, wasn't there, you know, and that's probably where it spurred from. And I know like when we went to Kauai, for example, he would always be the one, like the 6'6" guy, white guy jumping off the pier with these locals, like just guys like jumping off the pier. And so I know that like that's kind of our place to meet whenever I pass away, is to meet like in Kauai snorkeling. And so he definitely like had a passion for snorkeling and coral reefs, and I guess that's where it came from. But he loved talking about it to you guys. So,
Amy. So we're talking to Amy Dunk, Chris's wife. It's always amazing to me. He would sneak it in, like Dan Betlock and I would try to be. We'd be waiting for him to bring up the coral reef at some point, but he had such comedic timing that he would slip it in. And all of a sudden, we'd all be cracking up because whatever we were talking about, he transitioned perfectly into saving the coral reef. And he had, like, clearly he had done research on what was going on with the coral reef and why it needed to be saved. And he would have these dramatic notes on it. It was unbelievable. But one thing that you had brought up, Amy, that he always, you know, he's the big, tall, white guy that, you know, you're going on these vacations and he's jumping in to the ocean with. He never met a stranger. And going down to Busch Stadium with him and kind of observing, you know, Cardinals hitting practice and things like that, it always amazed me. We would walk into the stadium and he knew everybody. He knew the grounds crew loved him. He knew the secretaries loved him. He knew the clubhouse attendants loved him. The former players. Chris really didn't know a stranger, but that I think is a testament to who he was, Amy, in that people loved your husband for exactly who he was because he was so good to people.
Yeah, and it really means like so much to me because I still get messages that, you know, from people that I've never met, and he's impacted their life. And just the way that he lived, even if people never met him, like the things that I share on social and the things that he would share on Twitter, you know, he would be able to touch someone just through that. And not only at the field, like when I would go to the field with him as well, I would be like, how does everybody, like, obviously people know who he is, but like they really knew who he was,
right?
You know, it was like he had met them and known them for years. And he made that consistent throughout all aspects of his life. Like when we moved out here, he would go to Pete's Coffee every morning. Like after he would dolphin out of bed, he would just head down to Pete's Coffee and get his dark roast coffee. And I didn't realize that like that coffee shop had the same people in there every day at the same time. And, you know, on mornings I would go with him, like he was saying hi to every single person in that place. And when we moved, he like went in and I was with him the day that it was going to be our last time going in there. And he was like giving people hugs and saying, you know, so great talking to you like over the years. And, you know, it didn't matter whether it's Pete's Coffee or getting his Whole Foods burrito. Like we met
loved his burritos.
Loved his burritos. But he met people like and created community all along his life.
On that note, Amy, I remember walking into Chipotle with him because he did. He loved his burritos. But going in, you're right. Going into like Chipotle with him down the street, he was always like, "Hey, Tom, how's it going?" You know, Tom's behind the glass there. He's working for Chipotle. Hey, Dunk. You know, Sam. Yeah. Sam, how's the dogs? Like he knew everybody. He just knew everybody.
Yeah, and also he'd like call people by the wrong name, and he really didn't care. Like, you know, but he didn't mean any harm out of it. He just like, you know, wanted to just know, let them know that he knew who they were.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Amy, you talk about the coffee shop and going and getting his cup of coffee. The one thing that I've heard about tremendously over my short time here at 101 is Dunk's love for man sodas. And one, where did that start? And two, I believe you have maybe some more news following up on the man sodas.
Yeah, so it started because when Chris was diagnosed with the brain tumor, about 3 months or so prior to that, he had stopped drinking. And so everybody thought, because, you know, he was this big life of the party guy, and that was a major portion of like his life and his character was like, you know, he partied. That's what he loved to do it. And so when he quit drinking and he had to go on the radio and kind of he was joking about it all the time, he coined the term man soda. And, you know, that's what he called his, you know, brewskis and his beers, but really they were always non-alcoholic. And so, you know, I love like cheersing to a man soda, and everybody like calls their beer the man soda. And I actually, I trademarked man soda. And so I'm going to be creating a man soda. And it's really, you know, Chris is the kickstart of it, but it's also just honoring all the legends. And I want to create a cup that will hopefully get into Busch Stadium so that people can fill their beer or their soda or even their water with some beverage and cheers to having a man soda, and then eventually make a craft beer with it. So that's what's to come.
Love it. Yeah, bevertize. Awesome. That was another word he liked to use, too.
Yeah, we'll
bevertize. So we are going to, now's a perfect time to mention, so as we're discussing with Amy, Chris's wife, Donk would have been 40 today. And in celebration of Dunk's birthday, we've brought back the Dunctionary t-shirt. We had this a long time ago. We did this last year. It's a new t-shirt. It's going to be available for a limited time. It's a different color, different design this year. It looks great. So if you bought it last year, fantastic. You get this one too. Now through Friday, May 21st, you can order this year's limited edition Dunctionary t-shirt. Proceeds from all sales, every single dime, will go to the Chris Duncan Memorial Scholarship Fund. And thanks to CarStar, your auto body repair experts, for support this year's Dunctionary t-shirt campaign. They've already donated $1,000 to the Memorial Scholarship Fund, and you can order that t-shirt at 101ESPN.com. But Amy, just an opportunity. What's going on right now with Dunk's Memorial Scholarship Fund? You're in charge of it, and I know it's something that you're very proud of.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I know Chris would be really happy that it's honoring him and his name, and he loved coaching kids. I really didn't envision this from him. We never had kids, but when he was first diagnosed, we definitely talked about it, and we just decided that, we would live every day like it was our last. And, for the 7 years after he was diagnosed, that's what we did. But his passion for helping kids through baseball, and, it was incredible to watch him out on the field and really be a mentor. I know when he was coaching in Laguna, he had this one kid that he became really fond of helping, and the kid kept saying to me or kept saying to him, hit the grounder harder at him. And he came home one day and he said, Amy, I hit the ball as hard as I could to this kid, and it bounced and hit him in the head. And I was oh my gosh, you can't be doing that, Chris. But he loved coaching the kids. He loved speaking to the kids. So we did do this last year, and we have those funds collected, and next year will be the first year that we'll actually award the scholarship. So it'll only be to the city of St. Louis, and high school seniors playing baseball are going into broadcasting, and we're really excited to be able to impact the lives of somebody else and kind of pass forward his strength, his inspiration, and keep the legacy alive.
That's awesome. That is, and that's incredible too. Who that scholarship will eventually go to, and I'm really excited to see what goes on with the scholarship fund and who is the very first person that is awarded that. Amy, it's such a an unbelievable thing that you're doing in memory of Dunk. And we're also going to do June 16th, by the way, Dunctionary Day. It's on the Bud deck at the Budweiser Brewhouse in Ballpark Village. We're going to be there all day broadcasting. Cards host the Marlins that day. And that's going to be another opportunity. If you could join us, Bud deck, Ballpark Village, anything that we sell, Dunctionary t-shirt, anything is going to go to that Chris Duncan Memorial Scholarship Fund. So, Amy, we're certainly doing our part to, just talk about Dunk's life and pour proceeds into the Dunk Memorial Scholarship Fund. But thank you for everything that you're doing, and we love talking to you again today, and we miss you.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. I appreciate you guys, and I'm sure Chris would love what you guys are doing, and I know that he loved being on the radio with you, so I really appreciate it. Anthony and Jamie, thank you.
Amy, thank you. Thank you so much. That's Amy Duncan, Chris's wife, here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And yeah, I love doing. I'd be remiss too if I didn't mention our former producer Dan Betlock,
affectionately
known as Danny Pants, because of Chris. Chris coined that term, Danny Pants. When he got married, we for a brief time we said, "All right, now you're Danny Slacks instead of Danny Pants." He had grown up a little bit.
That's amazing.
But yeah, Danny Pants.
Write that down, Dan.
Write that down. Write that down. So I love it.
I'll tell this really quick story. So Amy was talking about Dunk not remembering names sometimes, or Aaron Miles, who played for the Cardinals, called him Little Buddy, and that's how he saved it in his phone. So the night that Dunk passed away, Kristen and I were at an out-of-town wedding, and I got the call from Shelley Duncan, and I couldn't go into the reception. that night. Like I was destroyed, man. I literally stayed in our car that entire time, just, you know, talking to people and, you know, crying and everything. When I had an opportunity to talk to Amy, I talked to Amy that night. We, you know, we're crying over the phone and she goes, I gotta tell you. And she like, the funniest thing, I was looking through Dunk's phone and he's still, and I'd done the turn with him for like 6 years, right? She goes, he still had you saved as Anthony the producer. And his phone is Anthony the producer.
That's hilarious.
So we couldn't stop laughing. Dunk was just so, he was just so unique.
Here, I gotta show you something quick. Look what I have saved in
Brad. So Jamie, his phone, he just gave me his phone. Brad Barnes, ESPN. instead of Meat. So
no, thanks, the man. Reason being is because Meat had reached out to me a long time ago and had called me to come on the show. And so Brad Barnes to me at the time, no offense, Meat, I was like, how am I going to remember, you know, this guy? So I wrote Brad Barnes, ESPN.
There you go.
Fair enough. It's fine. So who the hell's this guy?
You saying Anthony producer. I was like, oh my God.
It's incredible, man. All right. So we're going to play the lineup game next. And we will continue. I mean, we're going to have Cardinals talk, Blues talk, everything coming up. And we'll weave some more Dunk stuff throughout. Again, this would have been his 40th birthday. But great stuff out of Amy, his wife, who, again, we miss. And this is both probably just a great day and certainly one that, you know, it's tough as well. Because Dunk, he would only have been 40. I mean, that's... there's no words on that. But we thank Amy. We appreciate her, and we'll continue to reminisce about Dunk throughout the course of the show today. But the lineup game for game one is next.
Dad, thanks for coming on. Always good stuff. Love you.
All right. You guys take care. Thanks for having me on, and I love you too, son.